Hi, everybody. It's Jen Teufel from Tucson Foodie. We're so excited to have you with us at Around the Table with Jennifer English. Okay, so here's what we're going to talk about today. We've got Janos Wilder stopping by from Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails. We've got, who else do we have? We've got Isabel Yofroy from Yelp. We've got Delise Shepherd from Maynard's.
She's like the mayor of the East End.
Okay, so we're having a little technical difficulties. Actually, I want to talk to my partner in crime here, our head Tucson foodie, Adam Lerman.
Hey there.
Hey there. So when we start out every week, the first thing I want to know from you, what did you eat this week that you love and you want everybody else to eat?
Oh, I really liked Taqueria El Rapido.
Oh, we went there. I know what you're going to talk about because it's
little
on my
food
favorite
truck. I think mine is different than yours.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You
liked the chicharrón, right?
Well, my favorite from there was the adobo.
Oh yeah, adobada.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, mine was the lengua.
I know yours was the lengua. I liked the lengua, but it was pretty heavy for me. The abadaba just drove me crazy. But that's not my taste of the week.
There's nothing like good tongue.
There's nothing like, you are so nasty. I can't take you anywhere. Somebody that's nastier than me. So, okay. So, yeah, you've been scouring the South Side for our Tucson foodie readers. What do you have in mind for them?
Oh, well, at some point we'll do I'd like to do some kind of a feature of all the different food trucks of the South Side, not all of them, but all the ones that we found that were really worthy, and as well as like highlighting what items we found that were best.
And it's been fun. We've been spending weekdays at lunch, very long lunches, going from one to the other. What has surprised you? Have you found a treat down there that's surprising to you?
Well, just the general growth in the gorditas. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And in fact, you haven't been with me on any of those trips, but I took a couple of the other crew. We went to this place, Taqueria Alamos, on the corner of...
Taqueria Alamos. Where is that?
I think it was on the corner of Drexel and Campbell. Is that it? Drexel and Kino?
You got it.
Yeah, Drexel and Kino, I think. It's just right there on the corner. And there's two places. There's that, and there's one on South 12th called Las Lupitas. And that's all they do is gorditas. And both of them have a chicharrón gordita.
Which you know how I feel about chicharrón. Yeah,
and it's not healthy.
But it's really good.
I gotta say,
before we bring Jackie in, because, you know, everybody's going to want to know what Jackie ate, too. One of the great surprises for me last month was this delicious sandwich I had. It's not Sonoran food, and I forget what it's called. I forget the truck's name. It's a semita, which is a, you know, torta, basically. But it is so delicious, and Jackie will fill us in on this. But just repeat one more time what your taste of the week was, Adam.
Oh, well, and then there was one more. I had a filet at PY that was ridiculously good.
Yeah. Ryan Clark knocking it out of the
park. God, it was so simple and just so good. Two different gorditas from Taqueria Alamos and Las Lupitas, and then the Taqueria El Rapido. There was one more taco truck that I really dug, and that was Taqueria Rosita. And that's just this little nothing taco truck on right on Valencia, near kind of near the airport. You wouldn't even think twice about stopping, unless you're into taco trucks. But it was so good.
Who's not into taco trucks? Is that person weird?
Well, I think the general consensus is like, you know, remember the term roach coach? Like that was, I think that's in the general public's mind. So
is it still though?
To some people. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so. And, but that, I think here that's not the case. And plus, it's strict. I mean, you can't even get away with it from a legal sense.
Yeah, our health department is really taking care of us.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
All right, so should we turn it over to Kate, our editor?
We shall.
And find out what she's eaten this week that she wants to share with the rest of us. Adam's making his way over to the Maynard's Pastry Bar. I wish you guys were here with us. The folks over at Maynard's have given us beautiful pastries and some delicious, actually, Tucson-made jerky, which we'll talk about later.
Well,
okay,
Kate. Sounds good.
What'd you eat this week, aside from popcorn?
Oh, yes, I definitely had that. So last night I went to Oban Sushi Bar Ramen for the first time. Crazy.
It was your first time? You've been here almost a year.
I know, it was the first time. I've been saving it, waiting for this moment.
Okay, so what made you make up your mind to go last night?
It was just beautiful weather and it was nearby and I decided this was the time that I needed to go. My husband was with me. He hadn't been either, obviously. So we went together and yeah, we had a great experience.
Did you sit outside?
We didn't because it was full. Everyone else was taking advantage of the weather.
It's a beautiful restaurant though.
Absolutely.
And so a cool vibe. What did you eat there that you want to share?
Okay, so we both shared two different things and I had to write this down so I don't forget the name. But it's the tataki maki. And it was a signature roll on their menu with tempura shrimp. It had some spicy crab, seared tuna, avo, and then there was a chimichurri on the top that was so unique.
So was it brighter?
Yes.
That's interesting. That's
it was light. It was beautifully balanced. Honestly, a fantastic bite. So there was that.
Was
so
it a hand roll or was it?
No, it was a, so it was a sushi. So signature roll cut right up. And it was fantastic. And then the other dish that we ordered was the OG. So that was ramen.
Oh, delicious. I love their ramen. Their Absolutely. Ramen is delicious. Their egg is always perfect.
It was perfect.
So, okay, terrific.
Do they sous vide the eggs over there? Because they're literally perfect
yes,
every time.
I think they're sous vide, and then they just cut up right then and then put it in.
Yeah,
so they're sous vide waiting for you to order them.
Yeah, so it was a fantastic bite. I had a good time.
Oh, I love our South African little view. We're so lucky.
She makes everything she describes taste in my mind even better.
Yep. I think anything with a South African accent tastes better. Sounds like it's going to taste better. Okay, cool. Thank you, Kate.
Do you know what it is, though? I don't know that it's her accent so much as her joy. This young woman has this incredible... Can I just ask? I know we're keeping our pace up, but I know we didn't get a chance to chat with you last week. Do you just love what you're doing here? Because it exudes in everything you're touching. Do you love the food here? Have you tapped into something you didn't expect?
Oh, absolutely. I've never had an experience of Mexican food being in the Sonoran Desert. Nothing like it in my whole life. So it's been, an incredible experience every single day.
And what's the most memorable bite you've had since you got here? Do you have that yet?
Is that a real question? Yikes. Memorable bite.
Well, let me ask a different way. If you were going to fly back to South Africa and you could only have one more bite of something to take with you, where would you head? What would you drive your car towards?
If it was going to be something from here, honestly, as Adam mentioned before, it would probably be one of the food trucks, like more on the south side. So it would be one of those places and I would grab a taco and something like that.
Call
it's
it
just
a
unique.
Day.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Not pretentious.
You've got such a great team here. We love coming here.
We are so lucky. Well, we're so lucky to have you, and we're so lucky to have our crew. I got to say, one of my favorite people, always interesting, always culinary curious, always excited about the food, even if he doesn't want to swallow it, Mr. Jackie Tran. All right, my buddy.
How do y'all do?
And I love his radio voice. Oh, by the way, he does not talk like that with that deep bedroom Barry White voice all day long.
I just wake up like this. That's what I do.
It's not like we put a filter on him or anything like that.
I know, but he just drops it. He just wants everybody to know how sexy he
is. This is to cover my true identity.
Oh, that's so funny.
Okay, what did you eat, my
He's actually
buddy?
An 85-year-old Jewish man.
Named Tran.
Oh, quite a few lovely things this week. I'll start off with my dinner last night. I was having a lovely patio dinner as well over at the Coronet.
And I am very jealous.
Mm-hmm. It should be.
It was a beautiful evening.
What did Moody make for you?
Yeah, so off the small plate menu, there is a dish called the milk braised chicken breast, which sounds quite bizarre, and it actually reads bizarre too because it's a bed of Roman mashed potatoes. So there's pickled grapes on it.
Did you say Roman mashed potatoes?
Yes, I don't know what that even means.
Oh,
but
I thought you were going to explicate.
Oh, yes. And then pickled grapes and then a chicken breast with a dill mustard sauce.
It's so, so yummy. It is super yummy. And it was a perfect evening. And mm-hmm. Moody was on full display. Guess who just walked in? I love this kitchen. Do you know why? Because you never know who's going to walk in to the Tucson Foodie Kitchen.
We were hoping he would walk in. Mr. Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails, Mr. Janos Wilder. We're so excited to have him. Jackie, you need to finish up. Jackie, sit on down, buddy.
Anyway, hi, Janos. Right. Welcome, welcome.
So Janos is setting up something new for us to taste and talk about. We're excited about that.
Is somebody going to film this? Because this is the kind of thing I wish we were showing everybody. Because when he comes in, it's just like, I love it when he's so in this special. Mode. He's got his chef coat on.
It's so special. Kate's getting out her little filming stuff because, you know, anything I photograph or film just looks awful.
So, and you know what? I know I'm doing something right in the world when I have the exact same cooler on wheels with the handle like Giannis has.
Okay, Jackie, tell us what else you ate this weekend.
Oh, yes.
Hey, Kate. I love that you're filming us, but actually we're talking about filming Janos because people... I know it's hard. It's hard. Yeah, we want to see what you're setting up, Janos.
If okay. Everybody wants to see what's going on, just go to Facebook right now. We're going to Facebook Live or soon.
Okay, Jackie, tell me what else you ate other than the delicious chicken at Coronet. What did you have this week?
All right, on South Park, I think just a little bit south of 22nd, there's this little bright orange food truck called Ensenada Street Food. Mm-hmm. And Ensenada is a city in Baja California, Mexico. And they're actually a fellow city of gastronomy. A lot of people don't realize that. So even though people associate Baja with fish tacos, there's a rich gastronomy there as well. So.
And it was the first place in Ensenada and Rosarita. That was the first place I had Mexican food because I grew up in L.A.
Oh, wow. What kind of dishes did you eat over there?
A lot of drunk dishes. There was a lot of drunk eating. Mm-hmm. Actually, the fish tacos, which are delicious, but different from here. They, you know, here we grill them a lot, and there they were battered, mm-hmm. which was very different and delicious because anything deep fried, you know, it's helpful. But there was a lot of things. Again, though, the meat, which was prepared differently, and they used, actually, I think one of the things that you should talk about also was the use of pineapple in their sauce.
Oh, interesting.
Oh, yeah, so they have a signature al pastor over at this food truck. They don't have a trompo, which is the vertical grill they use traditionally for the al pastor, but they cook it on the flat top, and they top it off with some fresh pineapple. It's marinated with pineapple as well, so it's quite tender, and it has a nice acidic taste and sweetness to it as well.
Talk a little bit about that cooking technique, because as we're talking about this and describing it, for a lot of people that come from someplace else in the country, they may be more familiar with something like a gyro tradition where there's stacks of the meat or there's some sort of combination of meat that's on some spiraling kind of warming rotisserie device that is vertical, not horizontal, like a traditional rotisserie, and you sort of shave the meat off as it slowly rotates and cooks. And that's similar in some ways. Where do you think, is that the easiest way to describe that?
Jen, one of the things that people can talk about and think about this, which I had not really thought about before, is a lot of that is because there were Middle Eastern people that came and they moved there, and that is really where that type of cooking was derived from, and it's splendid.
And this is one of those moments when we get to say, you want to know why we're talking about the international story today? It's because this is a much more international place than people realize.
Right. Right. So, okay, do you have one more thing that you want to tell us about this week?
Well, I'll still focus over with the Ensenada Street Food.
Okay.
So aside from what the things that we mentioned, they had a dish called El Psicodélico, which is...
Could you say that again?
Yes, El Psicodélico. So kind of like psychedelic with an O at the end.
Right.
You can say psychedelico, but El Psicodélico is the way that it's pronounced. And imagine when you're making a quesadilla at home and the cheese kind of spills out the edges and you have that nice crusty cheese.
Favorite.
Except they just put some mozzarella straight on there, and then they have their house-made corn tortilla they put on top of it. So the whole surface is covered with that brown, crusty mozzarella. That
almost like the tool that you get when you...
Janos sort of. Just brought out a piece of meat that somebody has to tell me what that is. What is that?
Hibiscus cured hamachi.
Guys.
So that beautiful
listeners,
bright pink.
I'm telling you, this thing looks so gorgeous. And Jackie was there shooting his new menu yesterday. And I'm really looking forward to those pictures and dropping that article. Is this from that in new recipes?
Yeah, Jackie correct.
Oh, yeah. So
you didn't get to eat. No, you didn't get to eat this.
Oh, no, I didn't get to eat anything that day.
Just watched. We tantalize and we let him take pictures and we don't let him.
Poor Jackie. His life is terrible.
Can I just say, nothing's more taunting than going to the James Beard Award winner's kitchen and not getting actually to taste that tantalizing bite of food that he's just prepared.
And that's one of the reasons why Janos is with us today, as we're focusing on the global perspective around Tucson, is we have two local James Beard Award winners. We have two new nominees from last year, and you, who didn't win for living here while you were living here in Tucson.
Oh, yes, I did.
Oh, you did?
Oh, absolutely.
I thought you weren't here yet.
Janos and I'll tell the story of how, when we were there the year that Janos won his prize, there were eight of us sitting in the back of the Marriott Marquis Theater. And when the other chefs from the big cities' names were announced in their categories, the big cheer would go up because there would be a big contingent from the big cities. And when everyone said Tucson, Arizona, the eight of us in the back of the theater went, yay! And we, you know, it said, do you remember
that?
I'll never
awesome.
Forget that moment. We had the Ben with us. So it was fantastic. And you know, I will still maintain that the year that Janos won, I let him rub my belly for luck, and that was all the difference.
I got to remember that for later. Okay, Jackie, we've been interrupting you, which is kind of what the two gens do. Tell us.
Oh, so just that psicodelico with carne asada, and they don't have any cubes like it is usually in Sonora. They have it kind of thinly sliced instead with some fresh onion and cilantro, and they serve it with a salsa macha, which varies from region to region, but from there it's a chile de adobo salsa, so quite saucy and spicy.
Does it have a toothsome nature because of the cube versus the slice? Is it a different or a higher quality of meat that you can offer in a cube? Is it just some kind of a quality thing? Is it just a regional difference, a family preference, a style? What do you attribute that to? Did you ask?
It seemed to be more of her personal preference and more so what they have over there. Over here, with all the cattle ranching that we have, we really have much more emphasis on the beef, whereas this particular dish, the thinly sliced beef was kind of easier to chew, and it was a little less toothsome, and you kind of, it wasn't quite as much of the star as that crusty brown mozzarella cheese.
Mm-hmm. And when you have a crisp element on a plate like that or in a dish like that, you don't want to obscure it. It's like when TV chefs in the competition shows get something nice and crispy and then they pour some sauce on it and they lose that, and like, what's the point of that? You know, mm-hmm. You really have to make those superstar elements stay the superstar.
All right. So thank you, Jackie.
And look who just walked in.
And I know you get so excited about this, right?
I know. Well,
adore him.
Well, I don't live here all the time. This happens to you guys all the time.
It does. Everybody should move into Tucson Foodie. We're over Riley's, so we're lucky. We're in the middle of downtown, and Eric Harding from Elvira's just dropped down. He's our around the table
show mixologist,
and also just all around lovely guy, and he's got a very cool t-shirt on. What do you got going on there? Oh, two rattlesnakes under the Tucson sign.
Yeah, this is actually silk screened here in Tucson by Tanline Printing. So they do a lot of t-shirts and
Jake at Tanline.
Yeah,
he's a cool guy. He spells his name J-E-I-K. Interesting.
Yeah.
So today's show is all about, and we're kind of kicking off this international portion of the show. Felipe Garcia from Vamos a Tucson is coming. Isabella is coming from Yelp. We're looking at the global attention that's getting paid to Tucson. I'm going to reach out to you and say, let's talk international. We just had the Agave Heritage Festival. Is the international spirits and mixology world and industry writing about what's happening here, agave spirits, what just happened with the festival? Tell us what you are seeing as our representative of that industry.
Yeah, I think so. I think people are writing about Tucson, I would say. So I got to work with a really cool mixologist out of Colombia. His name was Carlos, and he opened my eyes to some really cool things. He brought some indigenous fruits that they have grown down in Peru. And a sugarcane spirit called the viche that he brought in. And but likewise, he went back, and I follow him on social media. So
now you guys are buddies.
Yeah, we're buddies now. And he's raving about how he had such a great time here in Tucson, learning about our culture, our food culture, our drinking culture. And I think he brought back a few ideas to go back to Peru with.
You know what I heard that Camille Benoit was talking about from the Delice Network, who brought the folks from Columbia here, was she was saying a lot of them didn't know about a pub crawl.
Yeah.
And they're taking it back to their cities, which is pretty exciting. You were part of that cocktail crawl. Did you have some interesting
folks?
The Mez crawl. Did you have some interesting folks that hadn't been part of a crawl before?
I think, yeah, we always get, you know, people that have never done that before. I've certainly experienced it quite a few times, but yeah, it's great. I love
pub crawls. And he's still standing.
And I'm still standing. Yeah. But yeah, I think we get new people all the time, whether they be local or international. But it's a really fun night. It was a great night. We had a lot of people there, and we shared in all the different spirits and the different ingredients that we were all bringing to the table, and just kind of it was a really great community.
Listen, I went by your place last night, and I was struck because I looked for the clues about the internationalism that is alive and well downtown behind your bar and at bars all over town in all of our neighborhoods. But yours especially gets its como se llama from a really global perspective. Yes, you specialize in the agave spirits, but you've got the French products from Giffard. You really have a sense that the best things in the world can come from everywhere, and yet when they come here, you imbue them with the terroir of the creativity that you bring to everything. Would you talk a little bit about your current practice of internationalism behind the bar and how we can taste it in the glass and what we can come down and try for ourselves?
Definitely. I think personally, I think incorporating your experiences and your travels and your experiences with meeting other people from different places is really important. So although Elvira's is a Mexican restaurant that's rooted in Oaxacan and Puebloan cuisine, I think that I embody that there's a lot of great things to take from other cultures and parts of the world, different ingredients, different ways of doing things. So that's what I try to bring to everybody that comes in is a little bit of an aspect of that kind of, I guess you could call it, fusion between different cultures and cuisines. So I want to bring that to the drinks that are offered. But I think that's definitely kind of a focus of the restaurant as a whole. So the same thing with the cuisine. It kind of takes that element into play too.
Thank you so much, Eric. I think one of the things that it goes both ways, sort of, you know, people talk about, you know, bringing things from their journeys out. But we also have to remember one of the things that makes us a city of gastronomy is our heritage. 4,000 years back to indigenous Native American people, and then just 400 years ago when we start having European influence. So, you know, we're talking about the Lebanese and Middle Eastern folks coming here, but we also had Spanish and French and, you know, Italian. And at that time, it also changed as the white man come conquer. They also bring some interesting ways of using what was already here and introducing new livestock and animals. And what we've done in Tucson that's just been amazing is our heritage seeds collection through Native Seed Search, through our beautiful gardens such as the Mission Gardens, is that we're preserving the heritage and building upon it. And we're so lucky to have people like Eric.
We're going to wrap up. We've got to take a break in just a minute, but I want to give you a chance to invite people. It's Memorial Day weekend. We're kicking off our summer season. What's summer going to taste like downtown at Elvira's?
Yeah, we have a really cool summer wine and dine special for $25, and that's going to be through Tuesday through Thursday, so the weekdays, and it's available for dinner service. And what we're doing is two courses paired with two glasses of wine. We also have a mezcal dinner coming up with Del Maguey Mezcal. That's going to be on the 30th. So I want everybody to sign up for that. You can go to the Eventbrite page or meet us at Instagram or Facebook and then sign up there.
One tip I wanted to ask you for as we all start entertaining at home a little bit more, this grilling out season, this summer season, when we have more time to entertain, because the summer we all kind of slow down because it gets hot. How can you instruct us, and maybe we can do this a little bit more next week as well, but how do we start thinking about signature cocktails with the Tucson style?
I think, you know, that definitely encompasses some local flavors. So last week, definitely used the grapefruit and tequila for the Tucson Pops Paloma.
Yeah, by the way, Maestro loved that, and it's delicious.
Great. Yeah, that was my point. I mean, but I think, you know, using fresh ingredients, another thing, and I don't know if I talked about this before, but I like using watermelon. I think that's a really great summer Tucson flavor. Something more that we're going to probably try to experiment with is paletas or popsicles in cocktails.
Oh, yeah.
Which is exciting for me. And I wanted to let you know, I'm putting together a mocktail roundup, and I'm coming your way, buddy. This week. I'm not kidding.
He makes the best mocktails in town.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
He's still... No. How many
shall see? It's going to be delicious no matter what, because it's coming from Eric Harding and Elvira's.
Okay.
But you know, I don't even touch the alcohol at all. So it has to be 100% alcohol free. And I am really excited to getting down there and seeing what you've created for us and letting everybody in Tucson know about it.
Well, I've been enjoying those, and I can swear that everybody's going to love them. Eric Harding, thank you so much from Elvira's. And we should tell you, there's an Elvira's in down south as well.
There's also one in Tubac. It's located right on the Frontage Road there, but it's right in the plaza, the main
Frontage
square of
Road
Tubac.
Does not sound sexy.
It doesn't, but
it's a beautiful space in Tubac. That's what he meant.
Yes, exactly. That's in a vista. Yes.
But it's also a great reason to take a drive down.
But yeah, take a day drive down to Tubac. Go look at the arts villages and then have some dinner or lunch over there.
Eric Harding from Elvira's, thank you so much. Jen, we're going to take a very quick break. This is Around the Table, the Tucson Foodie Edition number 4, coming to you live from the City of Gastronomy. Our perspective today, global. Our tastes, local. How do we tie it together? The one and only Janos Wilder, the James Beard Award winner himself, is up next, and he's going to take us on that very tour. Oh, and an aqua fresca. Thank you. Is that from Maynard's? Thank you, Jen. Thank you, Maynard's. We'll be back with more right after this. Don't touch that dial. Welcome back. It is Around the Table, the Tucson Foodie Edition number 4, coming to you live from the City of Gastronomy. This is AM 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk, and we are here live in the test kitchens of Tucson Foodie headquarters, located downtown in the City of Gastronomy, where, along with my cohort, the other Jen.
The other Jen.
I never imagined that having two Jens on the radio could exist. I thought maybe the room would implode before that actually happened, and yet here we are.
It's
and the room is still standing.
Inspired energy. But truthfully, what drives our energy is our excitement and true love of Tucson food. And I got to tell you, one of the maybe the first restaurant that blew my mind here in Tucson when I first moved here in the mid-90s, I am sitting here with the great Janos Wilder from Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails, but truthfully, Janos Wilder from Janos Wilder. Thank you. Thank you for living here, staying here, and for somebody who's one of the OGs of Tucson culinary scene, to have somebody who's always right. creating new from the OG standpoint, I got to say, major props.
So as an OG, OG?
He's an OJG.
I actually had to ask what that meant, so that confirms my status,
gangster,
I believe.
You're an original gangster, dude. Original gangster right here.
I was told it meant old guy.
Yeah, that's not true. Original gangster.
No. All right, okay.
Okay, talk to us.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what it was like to get that James Beard Award, because that was pretty special.
Yeah, that was, you know, so... I'm so glad that you were there.
It really did. Cool. It was awesome.
Rubbing your belly, that's what did it.
Not those hundreds of thousands of hours of hard work.
No, that had nothing to do with it whatsoever. It was a cool thing. It's a big, was at that point, it was still in New York City in the Marriott Marquis in a huge room, and you've got all of your peers and all the people that you look up to in the world or in the culinary world are in that room. And after, I think, 8 years of being nominated, they called my name. And so it was very exciting, of course. It was wonderful.
What do you think about the change? It seems to be quite an influx of attention that Tucson has been getting in the last couple of years, and it seems to just be growing every year. What do you think about that?
I think it's fantastic. I mean, what's to think about it? It's great. It's fantastic for Tucson. It's fantastic for all chefs and all diners and all restaurants, but it's really as an overall sort of halo over the city, right. I think it's a wonderful thing for all of us in our entire community.
But let's just talk about the fact that this has been a delicious place. We used to go to New York for things like that. And right. people were like, Tucson, Arizona. I said, I'm going to start the Food and Wine Radio Network. Where? In Tucson, Arizona. I go, what?
Right.
They didn't understand. But the food has been this good for a while. I mean, I don't want to say 4,000 years good, but it's really had that tradition somewhere in its soul.
But it is 4,000 years good.
Right.
And that's what makes it special, and that's what makes it unique. And my wife, Rebecca, and I were chatting last night, and she was had an appointment in the next room. She overhears two people talking, and they were talking about the city of gastronomy, and they said, oh, Tucson doesn't deserve that. Tucson doesn't have restaurants like New York City. New York City's the culinary capital of the world, but it's not only about restaurants. We have great restaurants here, but we have such a unique culinary history. But we are not only about history. We're not only about the present, but we are about the future. We are the future of food in the world. And we've talked about this before. We're the repository of the seeds that are going to feed the planet because they are uniquely adapted to the way the world is, much of the world is going to become. So we have that here. That's who we are.
That's exactly what we're talking about. We're heading towards worldwide water shortages, and we have the seeds here in Tucson, Arizona, in the Sonoran Desert, that can survive it. And they've survived it, like you said, for 4,000 years. And they're going to continue to do that only because of the work that people like you and Native Seed Search and so many of these other great organizations are doing to make sure that our heritage becomes our future.
And that's exactly right. And hats off to Native Seed Search, to the Mission Gardens, to Gary Nabahan, to Tucson, the City of Astronomy.
Jonathan
Mabry. Who's our board chair of the Tucson City of Astronomy.
Dangera.
The list goes on. The Community Food Bank. This is such an enriching community in the entire sense of the gastronomic world.
Absolutely.
And when we say City of Gastronomy, I think people misunderstand what that means.
I think you're right.
Can you help us clear this up? And we'll talk to Felipe Garcia a little later about the same thing. What does it actually mean? You've said some of it. But yeah, why do people still think it means how many Chinese restaurants you have in a city that doesn't have a big Chinatown?
Yes, it means a little bit more than that. It really talks about the history. So, well, let's back up even further. So we'll widen the focus. When the Creative Cities Network through UNESCO looks for cities of gastronomy and they're looking at the applications coming, they're not looking for New York City. They're not looking for San Francisco. They're not looking for Beijing or Munich. They're looking for secondary markets and sometimes tertiary markets that are doing really remarkable and unique things. I think that if you go to New York City and you eat in any number of restaurants and you closed your eyes and you ate the food, well, you wouldn't know you were in New York City. You could be in any great metropolitan area in the world. But when you close your eyes and you eat in Tucson, you know you're in Tucson. If you close your eyes and you eat in Soroka, Japan, you know that's where you are. If you close your eyes and you eat in Macau, you know where you are, because these places have absolutely unique culinary identities. And that's the first thing. So ours is different than all the others. Ours goes back 4,000 years. We're the most diverse region in North America. All of those things go into it. But that's not all of it. It starts there, but it doesn't end there. And so then we add another whole piece to this, and this is an important piece in the application process, is the whole social justice issue. How do we take care of our brothers and our sisters? How do we take care of people in need in this city? It's something that Tucson is uniquely good at. We care here.
Well, and we had Mike Malazzi on the show yesterday who informed us that the statistic is something like we have 3,500 charities here in this community, that we have about the most high per capita charities for any city in North America.
Well, so sadly and proudly.
Right.
Right? Sadly, it's because there's
poverty
need here.
Our poverty rate is very high. One of the things we have that actually shows how we stand out in that is that we have in Tucson, Arizona, a population of 1 million people, the number one community food bank in all of the United States. People, listeners, you should understand that. They're not just handing out boxes of food. They are teaching people how to find the food, how to grow the food. They're opening up community gardeners. They're assisting folks that are farming already, people that are starting their in-home businesses, culinary businesses.
And this isn't just about saying, I'm going to give you a box of food. This is about saying, I'm not going to give you a fish. I'm going to teach you how to fish. And that's that same notion that we're going to teach you how to thrive and sustain here.
That's
it's beyond
true.
The box.
Right. And, you know, so that we're the number one is, again, it's something we can be proud of, but it's sad at the same time because there's so much need. But we meet the need in Tucson. We work really hard. 3,500, I'd never heard that number before. That's staggering. That's a staggering number. But every neighborhood, you know, every church has a program. Every synagogue, you know, has a program. Everywhere you go, every major religion is represented here, and they all have programs that help people in need. You know, we work with people in our own neighborhood as well to do that. So that's a piece of it. So we've got the long heritage, you've got the social justice issue, and you have this unique blend of food and cultures that have washed over this region for, you know,
millennia,
thousands of years. Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the things that I did want to say, we don't just have, when I'm taking us back to the community food bank, and a big shout out to Michael McDonald, who runs that joint, but with an amazing team. One of the things they do is we supply food to 23 other states.
Wow.
Why is this important? Okay. It shines a light on something that's happening worldwide. We don't have a food shortage. We have a shipping problem, right? Globally, we have enough food. Are we willing to spend the money to share it to people who need it? That is important.
Well, and we also have to remember that the produce that feeds much of the Western United States comes right through our region.
Yeah, right through the border. Right through the border. All winter long. Truck after truck after truck. When we first started, so my father-in-law, Rebecca's from Nogales, so my father-in-law had lots of friends in the produce business. He'd go around all the little, not all the little ones, all the produce companies, all the brokers, and he'd fill up his truck, his car, I'm sorry, he'd put it in the truck of his car, and he'd drive up from Nogales with all the fresh produce that was coming across the border. And so I'd get the freshest of produce from the very, very beginning.
Is that how my all-time favorite Llanos vegetarian platter number 10, that was one of the greatest plates of food I've ever eaten in my entire life, came to be?
I think you can thank Harvey Bracker for a lot of that, absolutely. And certainly for having such a great daughter. And so that's how that happens for me.
One of the things that we should all know, actually, tons of the produce, the fresh produce that Community Food Bank is distributing, is getting donated to us by Mexican companies who are importing their food to the United States. So we should know that Mexican companies are helping feed a lot of folks who live here in Tucson.
And we should also remind people that every weekend, the people, and there are many groups like this, but Borderlands Produce does Produce on Wheels Without Waste, setting up stations throughout the region, throughout the state, where they take the excess produce that would go to a landfill otherwise, that's still beautiful produce. This isn't stuff with a, you know, like a blemish. This isn't a black banana. These are really beautiful melons and tomatoes and squashes. I got a Cinderella pumpkin with which I'm going to make some pumpkin empanadas soon. The food that they get there is great, and you get 70 pounds of fresh produce for $12. You just got to go and look at their Borderlands website, and they'll tell you where they're going to be each week. That's the magic and the beauty of Tucson, and that's how we share.
So when you say, what is this city of gastronomy about? Those are things that are about. But it is also about the restaurants. It's the restaurants who learn and have a sense of place, learn where they are, and learn to work with the ingredients from their region. And that's sort of the icing on the cake for all of that.
Hey, Llanos Wilder.
Yeah.
How does your garden grow? You have a garden. Talk about it. What's in it?
Okay, so I am a terrible gardener.
Praise. Word. right here. I kill everything.
What do we have an abundance of right now? We have an abundance of mint. Thank God for that. We can grow a lot of mint. We're growing a lot of herbs. The garden at the restaurant we've just replanted, so we've just got all sorts of herbs coming up, and we left the mint, and we left the chiltepine plants, and we left a few things, and we just replanted at the Children's Museum as well. And so, you know, great artichokes over there that just done with their artichoke season. They've all gone to flower.
All right, you've been talking about the restaurants in this community being one representation. And because the restaurants here are so wonderful and they're so visible, they actually have a very vital role, both in terms of the cuisine culture that we have. And you and I were talking about this summer, we have to get out because it's going to be hot, and we got to sustain these places through the summer. So we're saying, when it's too hot to cook and too hot to eat, let's go cultivate conviviality together going out. When we come out to Llanos Downtown and Kitchen Cocktails this summer, and we're going to see your new menu, I want to give you a chance to say what this is all about and how you're reimagining flavors of Tucson for the summer this year.
Yeah, so you were talking about global food. Well, that's sort of what we do at Downtown Kitchen and Cocktails. And from the very beginning, one of the things that we've done every summer is called Downtowns Around the Globe. So we visit different, from a culinary standpoint, we visit different downtowns around the world. Once Tucson got that designation as a World City of Gastronomy, light bulb goes off. Well, let's narrow the focus there and just visit our sister cities of gastronomy. So Tuesday, 2 days ago, we started that summer tour off in Soraka, Japan. In June, we're going to go to Panama City, Panama. And then in August, we go to Burgos, Spain. So that is one of the things that we do. So maybe you don't get to go to Burgos. I'm not going to get to go there either.
Maybe you don't get to go to Japan. Are you visiting those places through the lens of the Sonoran Desert?
Yes, as a matter of fact, we are. So for instance, Soraka, Japan, okay? Great city in the mountains, not a big city. It has a large Buddhist population, and there's a very spiritual, philosophical way that they see food. It's very simple. It's very pure. They do a lot of foraging. They've grown the same vegetables there for thousands of years, and so they're just so refined. I don't have those products. I can't forage here what they can forage there for. I don't have those vegetables that they have, but I have what we have. So we take our food and really apply it through the filter of their sensibility. And so that's how we work with those dishes. We can't be 100% authentic because we're not flying in all those products. We're using our products through that filter.
This beautiful dish, I got to start with that. It is a phenomenally gorgeous dish. Will you tell us what it's called and what it's about?
Yeah, so this is a crudo of hamachi. So the hamachi is first cured. It's cured in hibiscus flower, so from around here. I've got a hibiscus plant outside of the carriage house. We didn't harvest it for this. So we start with that. We cure the hibiscus. It firms up the flesh. It gives that a sort of a hint of that hibiscus flavor to it. Then I was talking about carrots in Japan. These aren't the carrots from Japan, but we make a puree out of the carrots with coriander seed, with cilantro seed, coriander. We make our own furikake, which is the Japanese little spice blend with bonita and sesame seeds and seaweed. And so that's sprinkled on there.
So radish. It's not vegan, folks.
And we should say, there's a picture.
No, it's not. Did you think it was? lest we were mistaken, by no means.
Jen, take a bite of this because
I'm coming.
This
in.
Looks gorgeous.
It does.
Giannis, I know you do special things all summer. I know you have one of the great happy hours in town, and I have to tell you the plates and the bites that you make. Sometimes these tours yield some of the things that creep onto menus that become beloved, don't take them off the menu kinds of items.
Yeah, that's really true. And so we have to be careful because by the end of our summer menu series, the whole menu can be the tour, which I don't really want to do. So because, right, we are discovering great food and new uses for it. And so things that become our new friends become our old favorites.
I got to say the sweetness from the puree was a surprise to me. And then the tang from the bonita, it's all beautiful. And then that crunch from the radish really has an earthiness that's delicious, right? Mm. I love the whole thing. And then a little bit of pepper, like, it's just
beautiful. so those are candied jalapenos. The heat and sweetness also comes from the candied jalapenos on there. So, you know, but it's got that real sensibility of a sense of balance and a sense of purpose. Everything is on that plate is intentionally on that plate.
Well, I'm really excited because Jackie just went down, shot your entire new menu, and
we're going
to be dropping it soon. So all of our Tucson foodie readers can excite their palates and come down and visit you in the next month, because it's here 1 month, gone tomorrow.
That's right. Before June 15th, and then we'll be in Panama City. So come see us.
Listen, I want to say thank you to the incredible Janos Wilder for coming to be here with us today, and for being so incredibly generous. And Jen, you know, we were talking. Go ahead.
I just wanted to give a shout out to Janos for doing Primavera Eats this month. Join in, get a ticket, support Primavera. It's another amazing nonprofit group that's helping taking care of folks here in Tucson. And also, it's such a fun evening. I've been there a few times. Always wanted to cook, but maybe I'll get up to bat one day.
Oh, it's a very fun event to do.
And delicious.
Do it. Just do it.
One of the things I wanted to say, because Jen, you were talking about the beards and some of that history going back now almost 20 years, Janos. Can you believe it?
No.
Y'all are old.
So it's...
That's where we started this conversation.
That is how we started it. Can I borrow your glasses? Can I see what's written down here?
Original gangsta.
But one of the things that happened that is unique to Tucson, and has been unique to Tucson, is the first year that I got a nomination from the James Beard Foundation, Janos Wilder was the first person to call me. He invited me up to his restaurant. We celebrated, and we celebrated with such incredible generosity and joy. And he expressed to me what it was like to have the legacy of everyone that came before us, and the sort of torch, not just being passed, but including you now at the table. I was welcomed at the table. Carlotta Flores, she came along, she welcomed me at the table. And now when we get our nominees, Don Guerra and Carla, we get to call them back and say, welcome to the table. This, to me, is the incredible fellowship of this community and this food culture. The fellowship piece, the conviviality piece, the who we are together piece is one of the stories that I don't think gets told enough, and I want it to.
Well, so it's true. There's a reason why we get into food. And I don't think the reason is because it's the career of last choice. I think the reason is people get into food because they're pleasers. They want to make people happy. We want to nurture and nourish people. That sense encompasses everything that we're talking about today. And that's really, that's the sense, that's why we want to invite people in. We love that piece. And so we want to welcome everybody to that club.
I love that.
So when we look back 20 years and beyond, looking back, how different is the food scene today than it's been in the past here in Tucson?
Yeah, so I think the food scene here was very much the same up until 5 to 7 years ago, and something happened. And that's a younger group of chefs came in who were unlike the group that my cohort, if you will. And I think a lot of it has to do with social media as well, and something that I'm not all that familiar with. But it allows people to talk all the time. We didn't. If I wanted to talk to Murph, I'd have to get on the phone, or I'd have to go over there, and it wasn't casual. He had to be purposeful and intentional about it. But now these guys have chat groups, and these men and women, they're talking, they're sharing all the time, and I think that is very, very fertile ground.
Are you on the Tucson Chefs Facebook group?
I am on no Facebook page.
All right. Okay,
I'm going to do,
folks. This is what I'm going to do for Janos. Twice a week, I'm going to trek over there with my computer open to that group, and I'm going to say, okay, Janos, this is what they're talking about now.
Yeah, remember the OG part.
Exactly. I'm MG. I'm medium G.
All right.
Janos Wilder, James Beard Award winner, Native Seeds Search supporter, Tucson cheerleader, foodie and friend. Thank you so much for being here with us.
How fun to be here with you. This is such a blast. What a great test kitchen you got here. And yeah, windows.
Yes, windows. It's why we took the space.
Beautiful.
In the middle of downtown so we could see Janos Wilder when we needed him.
Wrapping up this first hour of Around the Table, the Tucson Foodie Edition number 4, coming to you Woo-hoo! Live from the Tucson Foodie Test Kitchens and Headquarters, live from the City of Gastronomy. I can't say thank you deeply and passionately enough for the gratitude I have in my heart for our friends here, especially for Janos Wilder. I'm going to say this. When you get home today, do me a favor. Hug your kids, count your blessings, and don't touch that dial. We'll be right back.